Now, those three curses, Avada Kedavra, Imperius, and Cruciatus, are known as the unforgivable curses. The use of any one of them on a fellow human being is enough to earn a life sentence in Azkaban. That's what you're up against. That's what I've got to teach you to fight. You need preparing, you need arming, but most of all, you need to practice constant, never-ceasing vigilance. Get out your quills. Copy this down. They spent the rest of the lesson taking notes on each of the unforgivable curses. No one spoke until the bell rang. But when Moody had dismissed them and they had left the classroom, a torrent of talk burst forth. Most people were discussing the curses in awed voices.
Did you see it twitch? And when he killed it, just like that.
They were talking about the lesson, Harry thought, as though it had been some sort of spectacular show. But he hadn't found it very entertaining, and nor, it seemed, had Hermione.
"Hurry up,"
she said tensely to Harry and Ron. "Not the ruddy library again," said Ron.
"No,"
said Hermione curtly, pointing up a side passage.
"Neville."
Neville was standing alone, halfway up the passage, staring at the stone wall opposite him with the same horrified, wide-eyed look he had worn when Moody had demonstrated the Cruciatus curse.
"Neville,"
Hermione said gently. Neville looked around.
"Oh, hello,"
he said, his voice much higher than usual.
"Interesting lesson, wasn't it? I wonder what's for dinner. I'm starving, aren't you?"
"Neville, are you all right?" said Hermione.
"Oh, yes, I'm fine."
Neville gabbled in the same unnaturally high voice.
"Very interesting dinner. I mean, lesson. What's for eating?"
Ron gave Harry a startled look. "Neville, what?" But an odd clunking noise sounded behind them, and they turned to see Professor Moody limping toward them. All four of them fell silent, watching him apprehensively. But when he spoke, it was in a much lower and gentler growl than they had yet heard.
"It's all right, Sonny," he said to Neville. "Why don't you come up to my office? Come on, we can have a cup of tea."
Neville looked even more frightened at the prospect of tea with Moody. He neither moved nor spoke. Moody turned his magical eye upon Harry.
"You all right, are you, Potter?"
"Yes,"
said Harry, almost defiantly. Moody's blue eye quivered slightly in its socket as it surveyed Harry. Then he said,
"You've got to know. It seems harsh, maybe, but you've got to know. No point pretending. Well, come on, Longbottom. I've got some books that might interest you."
Neville looked pleadingly at Harry, Ron, and Hermione, but they didn't say anything. So Neville had no choice but to allow himself to be steered away, one of Moody's gnarled hands on his shoulder.
"What was that about?"
said Ron, watching Neville and Moody turn the corner.
"I don't know,"
said Hermione, looking pensive.
"Some lesson, though, eh?"
said Ron to Harry as they set off for the Great Hall.
"Fred and George were right, weren't they? He really knows his stuff. Moody, doesn't he? When he did Avada Kedavra, the way that spider just died. Just snuffed it, right?"
But Ron fell suddenly silent at the look on Harry's face and didn't speak again until they reached the Great Hall, when he said he supposed they had better make a start on Professor Trelawney's predictions tonight, since they would take hours.